Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 38th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
In Genesis chapter number 24, I never bring my phone, to church. I never did, except this morning, but I put it on silent, okay? Because I'm going to get something off. There's something I wanted to read and this morning, but I don't bring my phone to church. That's just me. I just can't imagine a preacher being up in a pulpit and, hold on, let me answer this, you know, while you're in the worship service. But this morning, I have something I'm going to share with you. I didn't want to write all this down. I'm lazy sometimes writing, and so I want to share something with you from Genesis 24. It's a very special chapter. Matter of fact, it's the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter number 24. 67 amazing verses here, and time will not allow. I couldn't go through all 67 verses in one sitting. But we're going to look at the chapter combined this morning. It's a beautiful story of Rebecca and Isaac. She's introduced to us, and a picture that we're going to see of a beautiful marriage and some meaning there that will apply to us and to the Lord. And I can't wait to look at it, but it's really a picture of the Lord and His chosen bride. As we look at it, we'll see some similar things here this morning. Since Isaac is pictured as a type of Christ, it's not surprising that there are many parallels between the story of Isaac's search for a bride through the ministry of his father's trusted servant and God sending forth the Holy Spirit to take out of this world a bride for Christ. And that's what we're going to see this morning in this story. So it's more than a story. It's a picture of God's love for us and Jesus Christ choosing for himself a bride. Let's begin in verse number 1. And what a statement this is. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. Literally, as you follow the timeline, by now, Abraham is 140 years old. Matter of fact, if you'll turn to the next chapter, Genesis 25, look in verse number 20, Genesis 25, 20. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. So you get this timeline. Remember, Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. And now at this time, when it's in verse number 1, Abraham is now 140. 40 years had passed since Isaac had been born. And so Isaac is 40 years of age when this is taking place. And he was well stricken in age. And by the way, that is a story in itself, how God had blessed Abraham all those many years. And the rest of that verse says, and God, the Lord, had blessed Abraham in all things. Now, Abraham wasn't always faithful. We've gone through the study. Abraham wasn't always faithful, but you know, God was always faithful. He's faithful to his promises and all that about Abraham and for Abraham. God was faithful, and Abraham was blessed of the Lord God. He was well stricken in age. He was up in years. And then verse number 2, we get into the story. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Before I read any farther, most people think that this was probably was Eleazar. We see in Genesis 15:2, if we back up there, where Eleazar, matter of fact, turn back to Genesis 15:2. Now, I know this is many years after Genesis 15:2, there's no doubt about it. But Eleazar is probably still that servant, because we see in verse number 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar. So most likely, when we get here in chapter number 24, even though it doesn't name the servant, it says his eldest servant of his house. He had much authority. The word eldest doesn't necessarily mean the oldest, even though it could, but it also means in the context here, he was authority over all of Abraham's house, his properties and all. He'd like the property manager, if you will. He can help. Abraham had so many things out he couldn't control at all. So he was a good delegator. And by the way, us as pastors can learn from that, being good delegators. And I try to do that, and I appreciate all the people that help around here. I couldn't do it all. And so there's that delegation involved in people doing jobs. And matter of fact, was that Moses? Yeah. Remember Moses, all they had the children of Israel, and they were all complaining, and Moses divided it up into different groups and all. So just say Eleazar, or whoever the steward was, he was over all of Abraham's household. And then you get this interesting statement in verse number 2 and 3. Abraham said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. And then look at verse number 4. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, before we go a little bit farther in this story, I brought my phone for. An interesting thought about this, about putting thy hand under my thigh. Now, most of us think that's very, very, very strange, and it is in today's society. It's very strange, but Abraham was very concerned that Isaac was not to be married to a Canaanite bride. And so what takes place here is a very serious custom, is an ancient custom, that is more than just a handshake. And I wanted to read what a Bible commentator wrote about this. And let me just read this to you, about putting Eleazar's hand under the thigh of Abraham. According to ancient customs, this described a serious oath. Abraham was extremely concerned that Isaac not to be married to a Canaanite bride. Didn't want to marry a pagan out here. Wanted to marry a godly woman from a godly family. Now I quote this individual. The person binding himself to the oath put his hand under the thigh of the person to whom he was to be bound. He put his hand on the part that bore the mark of the circumcision. And you can just imagine, I'm not going into detail, but you know what it's talking about. The sign of God's covenant. Our ideas of delicacy may revolt from the rite used on this occasion. Okay? But in ancient times, when the nature of the covenant is considered and how serious this is, of which circumcision was the sign, we shall at once perceive that this rite or this ritual, whatever you call it, could not be used without producing sentiments of reverence and godly fear. There was nothing nasty about this when they did it. It was a symbol of reverence, of godly fear, as the contracting party must know that the God of this covenant was a consuming fire. So this is a very serious thing that they did. Matter of fact, this was done before, done later. Turn me to Genesis chapter number 47. Genesis 47. Between Jacob and Joseph, a father and a son.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier. You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more great teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.